I'm Mike Mason with a check of the local news on KDLG. The Dillingham City Council has delayed the decision about moving forward with the proposed annexation of the Nooshigak Commercial Fishing District. City of Dillingham has already gone through the process to annex the commercial fishing district into the city limits. The annexation was finalized in 2012. However, earlier this year, the annexation was overturned by Superior Court Judge Pat Douglas. She ordered the city to use the legislative review method if the city council wants to try once again. Just such a try is in the works, but the formal resolution allowing the city to submit an annexation petition to the Alaska Local Boundary Commission was delayed at last week's Dillingham City Council meeting. Dillingham Mayor Alice Ruby confirmed that a meeting is being planned for Neustuyahok to outline the annexation effort and to get the input of Neustuyahok residents. However, Ruby noted the date and time of the meeting has not yet been set. She then asked the members of the City Council to delay consideration of the resolution until the October 16th City Council meeting.
That way you could do a workshop so that you can discuss the suggestions and the comments that you've heard. Plus, by then, you'll have notes from the Manicotic meeting.
Mayor Ruby's recommendation was quickly approved, which means the resolution allowing the mayor to submit the annexation petition to the local boundary commission will be taken up on the 16th of October. The annexation petition will be the subject of a workshop that will precede that meeting. As part of the annexation, the city is proposing to impose a 2.5% local fish tax on the salmon harvested commercially in the Nooshigak Commercial Fishing District. A couple of Dillingham residents spoke to the annexation issue during last week's meeting. Raybel Whitcomb called for the city to do a better job of informing the public about the ways that they can get some of the money back if the annexation effort is ultimately successful.
As an agency, because I work for BB&A, that deals with welfare assistance clients from around the region, we provide heating assistance, cash assistance, general assistance, child care, all those other services that our department provides. Many of the residents are very low income. We collect raw fish taxes for them. The raw fish tax requirements to get a reduced amount, which is only 50% of that, require that they actually get a letter from food stamps or be on the reduced rate for their permit. And not all of them may get that reduced rate, but yet because they might not have applied for that. To get a letter from food stamps doesn't send out letters nowadays. They just give the card. They're electronically sent to, they get a card and electronically it happens. Food stamps income limits are the exact same thing as TANF, as GA, child care within certain limitations of that. Workforce was not able to provide letters on behalf of those individuals to be exempted from half of that. We're serving the most neediest of families, and to hear that we're collecting, the taxes on top of what people are coming over to pay for the basic commodities of Dillingham, and I understand that we have a lot of people that come into our region for fishing. Dillingham goes from, 2,500 to 10,000, give or take, and we need to capture that money. But a lot of our village residents can't afford that. They're in the lowest income categories, and it just puts more burden on other social programs. But the types of methods on how to get exempted from that needs to be better defined and a better avenue to get their refunds.
Under the previous annexation, the city initiated a fish tax refund program for those already paying property taxes in Dillingham and for those who qualify as low income. It's anticipated that such a program will be reinstated if the current annexation effort is successful. If and when the City of Dillingham submits its petition to the local boundary commission, a public process will get underway that could result in a formal public hearing and decisional meeting in Dillingham. If the commission ultimately approves the petition, it would then be sent to the Alaska legislature for review. Tuesday was election day for the City of Dillingham and the Bristol Bay Borough, and the unofficial election results are in. In Dillingham, there was only one contested seat. Sarah Andrew won seat B on the Dillingham School Board for a three-year term. She edged out Bernita Vinois by a vote of 178 to 118. According to the unofficial numbers in the Bristol Bay Borough, Carl Anderson will replace Daniel O'Hara as mayor. Russell Phelps won the open assembly seat, replacing Shelby Booth. The results remain unofficial until the canvass meeting that will take place on the 13th of October. At that time, all of the absentee and question ballots will be verified and counted into the official results. Dillingham's canvass meeting will be held on October 16th. The Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities is working with the Federal Highway Administration to get comments as well as information about the Alaska Peninsula Highway between King Salmon and Naknek. KDLG's Thea Card has the details.
The Alaska Peninsula Highway between King Salmon and Naknek is in need of some help. The Alaska DOT is seeking comments from the public on a proposal that would rehabilitate and widen two bridges and replace a third with a culvert. The proposed work would also include improving drainage along bridge decks and approaches, installing retaining walls, signs, and striping as needed, vegetative clearing, and installing or repairing guardrails and bridge rails. Project manager with the State of Alaska DOT, Luke Boland, is working on the bridges portion of the project. He says the bridges at King Salmon Creek and Paul's Creek are looking to be widened, and Leader Creek's bridge will be replaced with a culvert. Boland says the department is hoping for a lot of public feedback concerning the project.
Any input from people who are using that road on a regular basis? I think one of the big benefits to this project is you've got a fairly narrow bridge right now that we're going to provide shoulders, which should help with travel on that piece of road.
He says the department just finished repaving the road between King Salmon and Naknek, including paved shoulders and a safety edge. However, the bridges were not widened. Boland says this new project will complement the repaved road very well. Construction on the proposed project is estimated to begin in the summer of 2016.
It'd be a single season construction project. Right now, we're in the process of completing our environmental document, and you know, one of the reasons why we're seeking comments is as part of that process. Once we get done with that, we can move forward with our final design, and we'll be working with our bridge design team out of the Juneau office, and then the folks here in Anchorage will be working on the approaches to the bridges.
Comments are being accepted through October 31st and can be sent to the DOT P.O. Box 196900, Anchorage, Alaska 99519. In Dillingham, I'm Thea Card.
The Alaska Division of Elections has reprinted voter information pamphlets to include independent gubernatorial candidate Bill Walker. Division Director Gail Fenumani says that candidates are sent letters informing them of the pamphlet, which includes information provided by the candidates on their families, interests, and reasons for running. But she says Walker wasn't sent the letter. She said it was a mishap by staff, noting that Walker declared his intention to run last year, and it simply slipped through the cracks. She said it was too late to include Walker in the version of the pamphlet that voters began receiving earlier this week. She said the division has printed a supplemental pamphlet for the gubernatorial and lieutenant governor candidates that voters should receive some point this week. Walker has been included in the online version of the pamphlets. Leaders from around the state gathered in Bethel Tuesday for the 50th Annual Association of Village Council Presidents Convention. Dignitaries and political leaders from across the state attended. KYUK's Daisha Eaton has the story.
The Association of Village Council Presidents Convention opened at the Cultural Center in Bethel Tuesday. Julie Kitka, president of the Alaska Federation of Natives, was the keynote speaker. She reported on two major wins in the courts for Alaska Natives this year, highlighting a federal judge's order that the state of Alaska translate voting materials into Gwich'in and Yupik for Alaska Natives with limited English.
When we talk about that we have major fights that are going on with the state of Alaska and we're trying to protect our people's rights on that, it's very real. It's sad that we have to do that, but we're very proud of these Native individuals that testified as witnesses and that the judge listened and saw the truth of what they were saying.
Kitka also noted a U.S. Supreme Court decision to end the Katie John subsistence case after 19 years of litigation as another victory. AVCP is a nonprofit organization representing the 56 federally recognized tribes of the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. During the convention, tribal representatives meet in Bethel to work on critical issues. Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski and Republican Representative Don Young also addressed the convention. Senator Murkowski said that the federal and state governments need to respect Native rights.
There's so much tension as we talk about things like jurisdiction, as we talk about our ability, your ability to govern yourselves. And I think the tension comes because we're missing that respect. That respect from the federal government and the state government, respecting you and your tribal institutions and you as a people.
Representative Young also encouraged Native villages to take initiative to improve their own communities, especially when it comes to drugs. He said improving economic opportunities for young people is one important part of fighting the region's drug problems, but he also said it will take confronting people they know who are selling drugs.
If someone's screwing up in your village, he should be asked to leave. You don't want to do that. It can't be just enforced from the outside, because very frankly, that's a foreigner. It has to come from here. And you know who the drug dealer is in that town. You all know who it is. Well, you say, I can't do it. Bullshit, you can't do something. It gets damn cold without a cabin. I'm saying there has to be a little bit of control. And those villages, especially with drugs, this black heroin, what do you call black tar stuff, is coming in, is destroying our young people.
The AVCP convention runs through Thursday afternoon. In Bethel, I'm Daisha Eaton.
U.S. Senator Mark Begich's campaign trail led him to Homer on Sunday night. The senator held a town hall meeting where he took questions from a welcoming audience. KBBI's Quentin Chandler attended the meeting and filed this report.
Thank you, Liz. Thank you very much. But I feel like these are like election booths. If we could just put my sticker in each one. No, don't do that. You might go. Now, there's some seats over here. Don't, you know, be Alaskan. Just go there and sit down. Don't worry about me speaking. First, thank you, Liz, for your introduction. Thank
Senator Begich drew a decent crowd to Homer Middle School Sunday night. The congressman started with a quick story to establish that he is no stranger to Homer.
Also, the last time I was here, I'm trying to think of the restaurant, the coffee shop that I did an interview in, and they had this plant about this big. And I said, hey, let's take a photo of me next to this, because it says on there, needs a home. I said, let's put it on our Facebook page. I bet you we can find this place, this plant, a home. We had hundreds of people. Maybe, I think it was actually more than that. A couple thousand people went, saw it, and next thing you know, within 24 hours, that plant was out of there.
The icebreaker not so subtly underlined a continuing message from the Begich camp that the senator is a proven problem solver.
This is the problem with our system. Everyone is sitting there going, well, you're over here and you're over there. But in the reality of life, you try to find that 80% that we're all working together on. And if we can find that common point, the odds are we can get things done.
Begich asserted he was the man to break through the divide. Before he opened the floor up for questions from the audience, Begich made a clear attempt to put distance between himself and his opponent, Republican candidate Dan Sullivan. And he spoke briefly about his grassroots campaign around the state. Then the talk turned to hard issues. The exchange started with a question on Begich's strategies for
dealing with the outsourcing of jobs and the outsourcing of manufacturing and the what appears to be unsustainable trade deficit.
This is what I love about Homer. There's no nonsense questions here. You know, it's like, what is your strategy for solving world peace? And let's start there. So
Begich replied, the solution to outsourcing and also preventing the relocation of U.S. companies overseas is restructuring the U.S. tax code. And he said the first step to reducing the country's trade deficit would be to continue diversifying the country's energy sources. Other questions fired at the senator focused on eminent domain, government overreach, income inequality, and holding congressmen, specifically Republicans, responsible for their voting records. The Q&A lasted about an hour and a half, more than long enough for Begich to win over his audience.
My name is Dave David Larian. I'm from Homer, Alaska. I was very impressed with Senator Begich. Very well spoken. Answered everybody's question. You know, wasn't shy, and I like that. I need somebody who's not shy.
Can you tell me some of the issues that you would especially like for Senator Begich to take back to Washington?
Education's a huge one to me. The environment. I'm an avid hunter and fisherman. And I'll go one more. Thirdly, I'm not a woman, but women's issues. And I have three daughters. They need to be protected just like everybody else does.
Another attendee, Elise Boyer, sometimes volunteers for Begich's campaign. She believes Senator Begich is the Alaska Democrats' best chance. She calls his answers during the meeting direct and straightforward.
And I think part of that comes actually from being the incumbent. There's such an anti-incumbent feeling in America today that somehow the people who don't do the job are more qualified than the people who do the job. And I just think that's crazy. And so I think Mark can be very direct because he's worked on every one of these issues.
Senator Begich may have faced little opposition at the middle school, but he has no illusions when it comes to swaying the entire state. He says this race is going to be a dogfight.
You know, I've always believed this would be a close race, and I think a lot of it's due to the fact about the amount of money that's being spent on the other side, the negative attacks my opponent continues to pound on me, and it really gets voters turned off or they get frustrated, and I think we have to cut through that somehow, and I think what you see tonight is a good example of how we're going to do it.
Right now, the race between Begich and his opponent, Dan Sullivan, is considered a toss-up. The latest polls put Sullivan ahead of Begich by just a few points. If the senator can scrape up more supporters like the ones he found in Homer Sunday night, they could make a decisive difference. In Homer, I'm Quentin Chandler.
The Alaska Arts and Culture Foundation recently released recently selected five individuals to receive the 2014 Alaska Literary Awards. The foundation worked in partnership with the Alaska State Council for the Arts to pick five Alaska literary artists from nearly 100 applicants. $5,000 fellowships will go to Ernestine Hayes from Juneau, Aaron Hollowell from Homer, Joan Kane from Anchorage, Susanna Milsher from Anchorage, and Frank Seuss in Fairbanks. The Alaska Literary Awards recognizes and supports writers of poetry, fiction, creative nonprofit, or nonfiction rather, playwriting, and screenwriting. Any Alaskan over the age of 18 can apply. For more information, you can call the Alaska State Council on the Arts at 1-888-278-7424. With less than a month until Election Day, the race to become Alaska's next governor is heating up. Independent candidate Bill Walker and his Democratic running mate are canvassing the state for votes, and they went all the way to the Aleutians recently. KUCB's Lauren Rosenthal has more.
It might be a big port community, but it's not unusual for political campaigns to skip on Alaska. The town is hard to get to, and there aren't a lot of voters on the other side. Then again, most candidates don't have a retired Unalaska city servant running their campaign.
Thank you, Bill, for coming to my town. This is just so awesome.
That's Unalaska's old director of public works, Nancy Peterson. She brought Walker to the Norwegian Rat Saloon on Friday night. About 40 residents munched on hot dogs and homemade chips as they fired off questions at the candidate. Walker came prepared to talk about his vision for a bipartisan administration, but some voters, like Noli Magpantai, were more curious about Walker's background.
Yeah, Republican, Democrat, or?
I'm an Alaskan. I run as independent.
Independent?
Yeah.
Okay.
Walker explained that he jumped parties to run for governor after years as a Republican. Unalaskans usually lean Democrat, but Magpantai said that's not written in stone.
Well, we support Lisa last time, and she's right in when she was right in.
Right, uh-huh.
That's Lisa Murkowski, and the write-in was her 2010 campaign for Senate as a Republican.
You know, I was a Democrat, but whatever we need
right,
in this
exactly.
is Alaska,
vote
you know,
person.
I mean, yeah,
yep.
exactly.
Yep.
So
yep.
we got together here, and that's what we did, and
yeah.
she won.
That's what Walker and Malott are banking on. Their campaign promises to put Alaska first on projects like a natural gas pipeline. At the bar and in an interview this weekend, Walker said he wants to tweak the current structure so the state owns the biggest share of a pipeline. He believes that would get gas flowing faster to rural communities.
Any place that's connected with a road, a river, an ocean in Alaska should be able to have access to our natural resources. There's various forms of renewable energy that would be very effective. I mean, we're not necessarily, you know, just one commodity fits all. But anytime we can get liquefied natural gas to it at a very, very low cost, I'm all about that.
High energy costs are a persistent problem in the Aleutians, but the region's also wrapped up in thorny policy issues, like whether to build a road through the Eisenbeck National Wildlife Refuge.
If there's a genuine issue to have a road, for medical and medevacs. I mean, for health and safety reasons, I'll work aggressively to make sure that there's a road built.
Governor Sean Parnell's administration has recently turned to the courts, but Walker's not sure if he would continue with the two lawsuits they have in process.
The slowest way to do something is through litigation. I mean, I own a law firm. I'm familiar with how the wheels of justice move pretty darn slowly. And when you're taking on the largest law firm in the nation, which is the federal government, that doesn't always expedite the process. No, I there's other ways of addressing that.
Like talking to stakeholders and negotiating directly with the federal government. He says he'd take a similar approach to dealing with poor salmon runs on the Yukon and Kuskokwim rivers. Some tribes and subsistence fishermen are trying to get regulators to crack down on bycatch in the commercial pollock harvest. That fishery is a huge source of revenue for the state and for Unalaska. Walker says he doesn't know enough about the issue yet to take a position.
I've learned the hard way over the years is if I don't know the answer to something, I don't try to guess at something. I know there's a problem, and I'll certainly be part of finding the root cause of the problem.
In Unalaska, I'm Lauren Rosenthal.
Many of the stories you hear during the KDLG local news can be found online at kdlg.org. You can also find contact information on that website if you would like to provide a comment, a correction, or a news tip. That's a check of the local news on listener-supported public radio KDLG. In Dillingham, I'm Mike Mason, reporting.